This is an exciting episode welcoming John Wolf to the Texas Toast Podcast. We're going to talk about his career and his experience, but also talk about some Juan Lobo business, as in tequila. And most importantly, he talks about how he got to where he is today with his music success, and also share some really good knowledge that he passes along that will be very helpful for some of our younger artists in the Texas country music scene. Stick around.
Let's go.
Welcoming to the Texas Toast Podcast. It's John Wolf. And John, so your current radio single, If I Had a Bar, is out. And I just got the latest update from the Texas Regional Radio Music Report, and it's number one.
Sweet. All right.
Another number one for you. You've had so many number ones on the Texas charts.
Okay. So I was waiting to hear that news. So it's great to know it's number one. And I don't know if the number is 15 or what it is, but we've been lucky to have some great success at Texas Radio.
Yeah, we love you at Texas Radio and of course, across the industry and all the shows that you do and just the consistency that you've had and the person that you've been in the industry. So something I'm really excited about is coming up in April, you're going to do, oh my God, I loved when these CDs used to come out, Live at Billy Bob's Recording. Are they bringing those back?
Well, I hope so. They still do them, but they just don't do them as much as they used to, I think. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to have a live at Green Hall and a live at Floor's Country Store. And so I brought up the idea to the crew at Billy Bob's, Marty and everybody. And I said, hey, man, I'd love to do a live at Billy Bob's, because that's like, you know, to me, that's like the triple crown in Texas, you know, Floor's Country Store and Green Hall and Billy Bob's, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I brought it up with them and we spoke to Smith Records and they got on board and here we are, we're planning this live recording and, there's a lot of work that goes into them, but I'm really looking forward to doing it.
So working on that set list, but that'll be a special set list.
It will. That's been a lot of stress. It's just trying to, take, you know, 10 years worth of being on the road and well, more than that now, 14, 15 years on the road and releasing music. And how do you condense that into one show that sort of allows all your fans to enjoy the, some of the stuff you put out over the years, but, also sort of puts a stamp on that particular, live recording that's a little different than the others. So, it's definitely challenging.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the years that you've been in the business, but how you got into music. I love your story. Small town, Oklahoma, you know, you grew up going to church, found your love of music there. And then you went off to college and you were a commodities trader. Like you had a career and then you got transferred to Houston and you get up with Hayes Carl.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I think growing up in Oklahoma, I mean, country music was kind of sort of, I don't even know that I thought of it as country music. It was just like what you listen to, you know, and at the time Garth Brooks was really big and Toby Keith had come out and you're like, okay, wow, this is awesome. And you're listening to, so I kind of, those are my first influences. So I had not yet discovered Merle Haggard or George Strait or Waylon Jennings at that point. So I kind of was like, you know, Garth Brooks and Toby Keith, you're going, wow, this is awesome. And then the lyrics hit you and then you start kind of singing it and you kind of get the bug, you know? And so I had the bug, but I really didn't know how to go about being a country singer. Where's Nashville? Growing up in Miami, Oklahoma, it's a town of 10,000 people. You know, what do you do? And so I had a lot of interests and, you know, I've always been big in the outdoors. I got really big into rock climbing. I was interested in finance. So, you know, you could become a trader on Wall Street or, you know, climb mountains or be a country singer. I don't know. It was kind of all kind of swirling about. And so, I was also a basketball player. I was an athlete. So I ended up going to college in Colorado and at Colorado State University. And it was one of these things. I would play music for my friends, right? Just right at the party. Hey, John, play Much Too Young by Garth Brooks. Okay, cool. No problem. Man, you're pretty good, man. You should maybe think about doing this. And I'd go, I don't know how to, well, how do you do that? What do you mean? How do you turn it into a career? That doesn't make sense to me. So I kind of just played for my friends and, you know, parties. And then I graduated college. I got an opportunity to go work for British Petroleum on their trading floor in Chicago. It's a U.S. Oil America's trading floor. Is big time business, man. I mean, we were pushing around, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars every day. And I was a part of a program with British Petroleum where I was sort of hired into what's called the high potential hires. I would definitely not have really described myself as that at the time, because I wasn't like the straight A student or anything. I kind of stumbled into that opportunity. And so I'm working on the oil trading floor and I'm still kind of singing and playing, you know, when I get home or sang in church a little bit. And then they transferred me to Houston. And somewhere along that way, I discovered Texas music. You know, it was like, man, who's this Pat Green guy? This is really, right. Wow, this is crazy. This is really good. And of course, I'm listening to all the country greats by that point in time. I mean, I'm Haggard and Waylon and George. And so I get relocated to Houston and I found a couple open mic nights. That's really how it started for me. An Interloop Houston open mic night, 2004 probably is what it was. 20 years ago, believe it or not. And, you know, going down and cutting my teeth and getting in front of people and trying to sing cover songs, you know. Mm-hmm. So not to make this story longer, but that did quickly kind of, you know, sort of evolve into meeting John Evans and Hayes Carl. And really within a short period of time of living in Houston and playing open mic nights and beer joints, I had a band and I left BP and decided to become a country singer. You know, so to my mom's dismay, definitely. So it was kind of a quick thing for me. And I kind of say this a lot that I've never had a voice lesson. You know, I think all the playing for my friends over the years at least developed my voice and, you know, my ability to hold a tune, play acoustic guitar good enough, sort of set me up for that opportunity to really pursue it as a career once I, you know, started getting the ball rolling in Houston.
Yeah. So you're seven studio albums in. I know you've got the live recording coming up. Have you been working on another album for down the road?
Yeah. So my last record, Dos Corazones, came out in late 2021. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I put a lot into that album. It was really the most creative thing I've ever done, I think. And there was a lot of songwriting involved. It was the first album I've ever written a Western. And I really just took off on my own path on that record, influenced by my co-writers, Dave Brainerd and Tony Ramey. And of course, Dave is a magical producer. And so that was just a really big creative effort. And all the photography involved and the videography took place. Mm-hmm. The album was really created in its entirety, for the most part, written and filmed and photographed in 11 days in Terlingua. Mm-hmm. So it was a big kind of creative thing. And then it Of course, the studio effort was a whole nother thing to get it to the packaged place that you guys see it now. So I just feel like, as an album, I'm like, man, I don't really feel like I'm out to sort of beat that album, if that makes sense. Yes. I don't, for me, you know, just it's, I don't really have a big plan on releasing an album, but I have written, another big chunk of songs with the same team, and I've recorded a pretty good chunk of stuff. So we had the Jamie Johnson feature come out, which was a song off of Dos Corazones, but we went and re-recorded it and featured Jamie Johnson on that. And then we've got a feature that will be coming out on a Western swing song that I wrote years ago that Lyle Lovett and I are going to be working on together. So that's going to be a cool thing. And then we have a new single coming out a week from tomorrow. That's just another song that we've written and recorded that we're excited about. So there's definitely new music. I don't know if that's when that's going to evolve into an album per se, though.
Right. Well, new music is always good coming from you, John. Have you ever wondered how artists like Treaty Oak Revival, Red Clay Strays, and Aaron Watson maintain the high quality and high demand for their merchandise? CH Lone Star Promo is the answer. Created in Texas to serve Texas artists, and they're currently offering 15% off on all merch orders from musicians. Visit chlonestarpromo.com to get started and tell them Texas Toast sent you.
I was reading the other day that it takes at least $1 million to break an artist. That's a ton of change, and it can feel overwhelming. But with social media leveling the playing field, you just need an effective strategy to release your music. Check out Release Rocket to ensure your single does not die after release day. You've already put time, effort, and tons of money into writing and recording your album. Let the guys at Release Rocket keep your new release alive.
Let's kind of shift gears and let's talk about, of course, I just love the whole thing with the Juan Lobo tequila, and that's your nickname. Tell us about your tequila.
Well, Juan Lobo tequila is initially, Juan Lobo is just a nickname that my South Texas fans gave me. Hey, we're going to go see Juan Lobo tonight. We're going to see Juan Lobo. And we thought, man, that's really cool. Juan Lobo has a ring to it. So I think it was, I guess in 2015, I started sort of discovering 100% blue agave tequila, that sipping tequila, I guess you could say. So I sort of started that journey in 2015. In 2016, I took my first trip to Guadalajara and to tequila. Into Arandis, and I started taking a lot of trips and just fell in love with the industry, fell in love with real tequila, the history of tequila. And that sort of evolved into a business effort, you know? So, it took a lot in those years to bring in the right people to help me build the company, but the tequila has been in the marketplace since late 2019. Of course, we launched right before the pandemic, so my business timing is impeccable there. kind of set us back, you know, as a young brand. But the brand is still gaining a lot of steam. It's still, I think, a lot of being successful in business has to do with not giving up on what you're doing, especially the distilled spirits world. It's very difficult. Sure. It takes a lot of millions. A lot of dollars to get it going. So we're still working on that, but the brand, folks can check out JuanLoboTequila.com. There is a store finder there that can help them see if there's something local to them. We're in the process of expanding distribution. So some places were not available, but we'll be there. There is also an ability to order it straight to your door. So there's that. But
seriously, gosh.
It's a little bit pricey, but if you're desperate for good tequila, man, I mean, we have the ability to do it. So we encourage folks that are that are listening to go check out onelobotequila.com.
Yes, check it out. I may have to get some of that delivered to the door. While we're on the subject of tequila, this is a personal story I'm going to share. So you and Hayden Haddock came down to Matagorda and filmed that video.
Yeah.
That is in my backyard. Like, okay, so really? right behind me that way is where the jetties are and out where y'all were, where the fishing pier was. East Bay is right over here. The river's right over here. That's my home. I fish all the time. There are times I spend more time on the water fishing than I do on land. And so I think we had just had Hayden on the podcast. He was just getting going. And so I went to Pluggers, that little bar in town. Okay. And I got out of my Jeep one night and I was like, Hayden had a koozie down here. And we just had him on the podcast. And so fast forward, y'all did the video. Run and Gun is so amazing. I love those guys. You got on the boat with them. Love the video. But it was one of those things where I'm so passionate about saltwater and in our area. And then to see y'all, and I was like, where was I? Wish I would have known. And then I ran into Hayden in Fort Worth at the Stockyards. He was playing his show for the TCMA Awards. And I talked to his dad first. I said, Hayden came to Matagorda and he did a video in my backyard and I didn't know. And they were like, whoa, it was a last minute thing.
Yeah. I was noticing your fishing photos back there. So,
oh yes.
Good job. Yeah. Well, I do love, I'm a big fisherman but it was my first time to fish Matagorda Bay. And we had a great time. The Run and Gun guys are awesome. And, and I do remember that bar that you're talking about. The other thing I remember is I had the worst sunburn on the top of my feet ever. I don't know what I was thinking. Oh,
that hurts. Ouch.
But I just wore flip-flops out there all day and it was kind of a cloudy day. So
it was.
But I had a hell of a good sunburn on my feet.
Yeah. Well, if you ever make it back down this way, I would love to take you fishing and we'll throw some top waters. I love to fish top waters.
Okay, good. Yeah. I'm a fly fisherman. So perfect.
Oh, that's great. See, now you can teach me something because that's something I have not attempted yet. But anyway, we could go on and on about that. Now I'm lost where I was going. So yeah. Okay. So you've got a packed tour schedule and I see too, where you've got some shows with Clay Hollis and John Stork. It's always good to see the younger guys coming in and you know, kind of, do you kind of mentor and maybe chit chat a little bit with our younger boys?
I do. I mean, you know, I think it's kind of interesting because I feel like that what these guys deal with nowadays is like really more complex than what I ever dealt with. So when they, you know, some of these guys go, hey man, give me some advice. I'm like, I got nada. Like, I'm like, I don't know how I've survived, you know, being in the music business this long. And, you know, I say that, but it's, you know, it's really, you know, the big thing that, and I can go back to, you know, I was lucky enough to be able to, my first manager was George Strait's nephew. And, you know, I got started playing a private New Year's party for George Strait, and I played Trey Strait's wedding, and I've been around George back in the day quite a bit. And I was always looking for advice from George, and George was always like, "Dude, I don't even know how you guys do it." You know, as if I was starting now, I wouldn't get a record deal. I don't know. You know, so it's almost like that's how the amount of artists that are out there. Mm-hmm. When I first started, and George was like, wow, there's so many more artists out now. And now I'm saying that to these guys, I'm like, man, I don't know. There's so many more artists. So I think it's kind of just like this generational thing where this genre is growing. And it is way more difficult now. I think when I started, you know, again, that's, you know, 15 years ago, but we were still, you know, sort of riding around in with a van and a trailer, and we're going to radio stations, dropping off our CDs and our press photos, you know, here's my CD, you know? So radio tours were big at that time. I mean, I did radio tours for like six or seven of my first singles at least. So it's just more. And I think the old advice that I got from John Evans was buy a white van and play to hell and back, you know? So just play a ton of shows, get a white van and a trailer and go for it and put out some music, good music. It's more complicated now, but I think, you know, what I tell these guys is like, man, you know, put a lot of effort in what you're doing. I mean, you know, that's the best thing I can tell you is that if it's songwriting, if it's performing, if it's vocals, you know, just spend a lot of time at it. I mean, if you find yourself spending, you know, more time, if you're in this world to be a country singer and that's what you're focused on, and you're spending more time working on something else during the day and only dedicating, you know, 30% of your time to country music, I don't know that you're going to find yourself successful, you know? So, you know, I used to, you know, literally I spent, you know, 24/7 dedicated on my career. And hopefully you know, that sort of paid off. You know, I think early on my mom used to say, hey, go get a job, you know, get a real job, dude. And then work on your country music when you get home. And I said, that's not going to work. You know, you have to work on it 24/7. So I did, you know, spend a lot of time, you know, living on couches and stuff to try to make that happen. So that's the one thing I tell everybody, if you're going to be a country singer, dedicate your life to it and dedicate your time to it. And that's going to give you your best chance to be successful.
That is so much great knowledge you just shared. And I appreciate you so much for doing that, because we do have a lot of the younger artists that listen and then look at you. I mean, it's obviously it worked. I mean, you've been so consistent with your music and you even got to play the Grand Ole Opry.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I think times have changed. And of course I wanted to be George Strait. Everybody wants to be George Strait. And I still haven't reached, you know, a place in my career. There's still a lot of guys I look at and I'm like, wow, they did this and they did this. And I'd love to have that opportunity. And so I haven't achieved all my dreams in my career. The Grand Ole Opry was one of them that I was lucky enough to be able to play a year ago this past September. And yeah, that was a big, big moment for me. It was really emotional. And I think hopefully I get invited back. We're working on trying to go back to the Grand Ole Opry, but that was definitely a big thing. But lucky enough to still be putting out music and entertaining folks. That's still the main priority.
Yes, I love it. And I think that's a good spot there to wrap this up. And just again, from a professional point of view, but to as a fan, your music is just so solid and it's always the best to play and to sing along to. And when it comes on the radio, you're automatically turning it up. At least that's how I am. So anyway, but yeah, thank you. I mean, it's an honor having you on the podcast. And I have one last question. This should be easy for you.
All right.
If you were a cocktail, what would you be?
Oh man, I'd be a tequila old fashioned. How's that?
There you go.
That's what it would be. I love old fashions. And we do have a great Juan Lobo and Yeho tequila old fashioned recipe. And that would be me.
That is so cool. All right, John Wolf, thank you so much. It's been so fun.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.